time to join the American Family Robinson again in Birch Falls, where Luke and Myra have become the ideal married couple for the radio fans and the Emporium customers, but have been leading far from an ideal domestic life at home. Then professional duties have steadily encroached on the Robinsons' private life until they no longer have any time for each other. When they discover that Gus Poppelmeyer had planted a dictaphone in their parlor to secure evidence against the perfect couple, Luke and Myra were forced to keep up the act even at home. The situation finally becomes too unbearable for Luke, whose last shred of resistance breaks when Myra tells him she no longer has any time even to mend a pair of his socks. Having left a note with Windy and commissioned him to break the news to Myra, Luke leaves Birch Falls to find, as he tells Windy, a private life. We find him now boarding the train in Birch Falls. Let's listen.
No seats in this car, mister. Better try the smoker.
Oh, thank you. Is the smoker up ahead or in back?
The next car back.
Thank you. Excuse me, is this seat taken?
Nope, sit right down, mister. Didn't mean to have my stuff all over the seat.
Oh, sorry to trouble you.
Isn't any trouble.
Here, let me put your hat up on the rack.
Oh, thanks, mister. What's your line?
I beg your pardon?
What's your line? What are you peddling?
Peddling? Oh, I see. I'm not a salesman. I I'm in the department store business. I help operate a store in Birch Falls.
Oh, in the buying end, eh?
That's right. Yes, I buy quite a lot of stuff for the store.
That's funny. I sure had you tagged for a traveling man.
You did? Why?
Well, sometimes when I see a man standing kind of lonely on a station platform, no friends or relatives around saying goodbye, I pretty near always spot him for a night of the road like myself.
Well, I didn't realize I was so clearly earmarked.
Well, you've got to admit, mister, you weren't exactly singing as you got on the train.
But I don't usually sing at the railroad station.
Me neither, mister. The only time I feel like it is when I'm getting close to home again. You home fellas don't appreciate what you got.
I know what I got, all right.
Oh, you don't say. Well, everybody's got his troubles. Live and let live is my motto. Say, I haven't introduced myself. My name is Hawthorne. Here's my card.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hawthorne. My name is Robinson, Luke Robinson.
Pleased to meet you.
Oh, I see. Wholesale toys, eh? Well, now, that sounds like a pleasant life. Traveling around the country, distributing things that bring pleasure to little children.
Yeah, that pleasure to little children is all right. It's the traveling that gets me down.
Oh, that's funny. I should think that riding on the best trains, staying at nice, quiet hotels, taking plenty of time at your meals sounds pretty ideal to me.
Yeah, maybe it is, but believe me, mister, when I get through with the road, I'm going to sit home and never get on anything with wheels again as long as I live. I'll stay put.
Well, in that case, more power to you, Mr. Hawthorne. I hope business gets so good you can afford to do it soon.
Well, nobody can say I don't sit up nights trying to help business. You know what I thought of last night?
What?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of pictures in the paper lately about the National Guard not having enough guns and how they had to imitate real warfare with toy weapons made out of gas pipes and stuff like that.
Yes, I've seen the pictures. What was your idea?
Well, I figured as long as the soldiers were playing with toy weapons, maybe the toy business ought to help supply them. Yeah, you get what I mean?
Yes, I see your point. But somehow or other, Mr. Hawthorne, I don't think that situation is so very funny.
You're darn tootin' it isn't, mister. But one thing this Army situation ought to get credit for is bringing everybody face to face with the cold facts.
That's right. And it ought to remind the country of something more specific. That it's only business and industry that can provide soldiers and sailors with the proper equipment.
Sure, that's what I say. But a lot of people are wondering if the guys who run the factories are really pitching in. You know, doing their share. What do you think about that?
Well, it isn't a matter of what I think. I don't want to sound too egotistical about it, but it's a matter of what I know.
All right, then. What do you know?
Well, in the first place, over 100 manufacturers, some of the best brains that industry can supply, are now serving the government without pay in the National Defense Advisory Commission.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
And those men are on the job night and day, building for defense. Then again, the most representative group in industry, the National Association of Manufacturers, is making a survey of industrial facilities, not only to aid the Army and Navy, but also to protect consumers, to make sure they get an even break.
And come to think of it, there's another thing, too. Lots of companies have gone ahead with expansion to make guns and stuff like that, in spite of not knowing where they stood concerning taxes and income.
Yes, well, only recently I remember the Navy Department praised a manufacturer who'd gone ahead on his own hook to build 17,000 airplane engines before any contract was even signed.
Well, I've got to admit that things like that prove the good faith of industry and its willingness to cooperate.
Yes, and it also shows that the right kind of national defense is not going to be achieved by dickering and backbiting. It's a matter of cooperation.
You said it. Everybody working together can do the job, and that's the only way it's going to be done. Say, you know what the president of my toy company wrote to the government the other day?
What?
Well, of course, it isn't a very big company, but last year we bought up a pretty big supply of a special kind of alloy. Well, the president of the company, he wrote the government and said, if they need it for airplanes, they can have it. That's cooperation, ain't it?
You'd say it is, and it's absolutely typical of American businessmen.
Say, if you're going through to Chicago, I'd like to have you go through our plant. Ever been through a toy factory?
No. Yes, I'd like to do that. But, well, I don't think I'm going as far as Chicago.
Oh, getting off before that, huh?
Well, tell you the truth, I don't really know where I'm going to get off.
Huh? What? You mean you're just riding on the train? You don't even know where you're going?
I don't know where I'm going, Mr. Hawthorne, but I'm on my way.
And as Luke speeds toward an unknown destination, let's see what's happening back at Aunt Agatha's house. Wendy has not yet plucked up courage to tell Myra of Luke's departure. We find her with Aunt Agatha in the parlor, fitting a dress for Myra's personal appearance at the Emporium in the evening, blissfully unaware of calamity.
You know, Aunt Agatha, I think this will be very effective on the stage tonight.
Yep, looks right pretty, Myra. Lucky I remember that extra piece of goods we had.
I'll just run up the scenes on the machine and I'll be all ready. I don't think it'll even need pressing.
No. Hope we've got enough taft in the driver's department in case the women start rushing it tonight after they see your dress.
All I hope is they won't realize I just pulled it out of the attic this morning.
Business keeps getting better all the time. We put in a couple of hundred extra chairs down at the Emporium for tonight.
That's just fine. Maybe I can sew this smoother if I turn the dress around.
And it ain't only the sales I'm thinking about, Myra. I'm kind of getting to see this ideal marriage is a good influence on the community. Folks can get an example of how to be happy and get the most out of life. Kind of give them a goal, kind of.
Why, Aunt Agatha, don't tell me you actually think the ideal marriage idea has another value than cold cash.
Well, I kind of like to see you and Luke together, especially since the dictaphone was put in. Makes me think of my courting days.
It is nice to have Luke so attentive. And I must say, when he puts his mind to it, he can have charming manners.
I declare, I ain't never seen a man improve so much as Luke has since he's been making them personal appearances.
Well, of course, he's not perfect yet. He occasionally shows signs of backsliding. But thank goodness he always pulls himself together when he remembers Gus Poffelmeyer's dictaphone.
You know, Myra, I've been thinking that having to be so polite now will kind of get Luke in the habit of being thoughtful and gentlemanly.
Myra, there's something I've been meaning.
Oh, hello, Wendy.
And you could profit from a good example as well as Luke. Wendy, I should think a bachelor like you would begin to fall for the ideal marriage, too.
What do you mean? Oh, Myra, there's a certain little matter that
I say, Myra, I just thought. Yeah? That old tortoiseshell brooch will go awful pretty on that dress.
Why, I believe you're right, Aunt Agatha. It'll give it just the right accent.
Mm-hmm.
There, now. How do you like it, Wendy?
It's all right, I guess, but...
All right? Is that the best you can do after all the work I've put on it? Why, it's for the personal appearance tonight.
Oh, it's fine, fine. But I was going to say...
Oh, don't pay no attention to him, Myra. Men don't know nothing about clothes anyway.
But I do like it, Myra. It's just that, Well,
either sit down or go away, Wendy. Stop edging round. We're busy.
I'm I'm not edging around.
Now, Agatha, do you think the neck's going to be too low? Maybe a little extreme for tonight?
Let me see now. Hold it up. No, I don't think so. Now, what's the matter with you, Windy? Got a cold?
Windy, will you go and call Luke? It's almost time to leave for the Emporium.
call Luke?
Yeah, just hurry him along. Aunt Agatha, hand me that needle. I'll just give this a little tack here and be on the safe side.
Here you are, Mara.
Thanks.
Well, Windy, ain't you going to call Luke?
Well, I would only, well, you see...
What's the matter with you, Windy? Ain't you feeling well?
Well, tell you the truth, I have felt
better. Oh, never mind. I'll call him. Luke! Oh, Luke, dear. Time to get ready for the Emporium. Hurry up, dear. Please don't be inconsiderate. I'm coming upstairs right away, and I want you to be shaved and out of the bathroom.
Myra, this is a little embarrassing for me, but...
Oh, now, what is it, Windy? Can't you see I'm in a hurry?
I declare, Windy, you look like a horse with a colic. What's eating you?
Oh, Luke! Luke, dear, answer me!
Myra, listen. There ain't going to be no Luke tonight.
What? No Luke? Oh, don't be absurd, Windy. What do you mean?
Well, I mean he ain't here. He's gone.
Oh, stop mumbling and talk some sense, Windy.
I mean he skipped, he vamoosed, flew the coop.
Luke's gone away. But where? Why?
Here, you can read it. He left you this note.
But what's it say? Well, read it, Myra. What's the matter with everybody around here?
You mean Luke wrote me this note?
And he tells you all about it. Go on, read it.
My dear wife, when you read this, I shall be on the train. I couldn't stand it any longer, so I am going away where I do not have to be a perfect husband any longer. Don't try to find me. I hope to come back when we have both learned how to live like normal human beings again, instead of like goldfish. Your loving husband, Luke.
Well, the no-count good for nothing.
Oh, Luke. Oh, dear.
Well, of all the low-down skunks, it's a shame, Ira. There. Now, don't take on so.
I tried to break it gently, but you wouldn't listen.
Oh, keep quiet, you clumsy ox. Go on away, go away.
Oh, Aunt Agatha. He's left me. He's gone away and left me. Oh, what'll I do?
You mean, what'll I do? He's put the Emporium in a pretty mess. What about the show tonight? That's what I want to know.
I don't care about the old show. I want Luke.
Well, Myra, I always told you Luke was unsound from the beginning.
Oh, hush up, Windy. Now, Myra, just wait till I get my hands on that good-for-nothing weak-kneed.
You won't get your hands on him. What I want to know is, what am I going to say to that audience tonight about the ideal husband and wife? It's a fine ideal marriage, this is. Nice spot to put me in.
I was just saying how well Luke was getting on. Oh, dear.
Now, let me think. I'll fix up something for tonight. I've got to.
No use, Aunt Agatha. The jig is up.
I am not going to let Luke Robinson put the kibosh on my business. Now, stop sniffling, Myra. This is a time for busy brains and not idle tears. Now, look, Wendy. The first thing I want you to do is to...
It's going to take a lot of brain work on Aunt Agatha's part to solve this problem. What fan audience will accept an ideal couple with one half missing? And what of the missing half, Luke? Will he regret this desperate step? Where will he go? What will happen? Listen to our next program, and until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Marjorie Bartlett and Douglas Silver and presented by the National Industrial Council.